Welcome to sermons from St. John's Lutheran Church of Oaks, North Dakota. At St. John's Lutheran Church, we are built on the rock, and that rock is Christ. We are a cross-focused congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been our privilege to share the unchanging gospel with Oaks and the surrounding area for over 100 years. This sermon, entitled Human Sacrifice, was preached for Judica the fifth Sunday in Lent on March 17, 2024. This sermon is based on Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14.
The Old Testament reading for Judica the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." That portion from God's holy word for consideration this morning is our Old Testament lesson from the book of Genesis in the 22nd chapter, with special emphasis on verses 9 through 13, which read as follows. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Thus far the scriptures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Can I be honest with you for a minute? I don't really like this passage. I don't like it for a lot of reasons. I mean, there's things about it that are likable, but I don't like it. It turns out okay in the end, but I don't like it. I really don't. Every time I read this, it makes me unhappy. It makes me really uncomfortable. I think a good chunk of it has to do with what it makes me realize about myself. Let me explain. This passage has Almighty God commanding Abraham to sacrifice, murder his son Isaac. He does this as a test of his faith. And no matter how much a pastor or a theologian or clever writer can dance around this fact, it stands glaring in his presence. Sure, I could point out to you that Abraham is a man of faith. He believed in God's promises about how his promised son would endure and many people and nations would come from him. I could point that out. The fact still stands, though. We could talk about how it seems like Abraham might have gotten the promised sons mixed up, confusing his son Isaac for the son promised to Eve who would come and die to destroy Satan. We could talk about that. But it doesn't change what God asked him to do. I could even go quote from the book of Hebrews that Abraham did this because he had faith that God would raise his son. I could talk about that too. But the fact of this particular story stands still stark and hard. What I'm trying to say is that no matter how many reasons or explanations I might give to soften the blow of this, the fact of the matter is that God still asked Abraham to give up his son Isaac. More than that, he asked Abraham to kill his son Isaac. I don't like this passage. I don't like what God said here. I really don't like how Abraham listened to God. But even more than that, it reveals something about me that I don't like. Jesus isn't exactly shy about telling us that we must be willing to give up anything and everything to follow him. For example, Jesus tells a rich young ruler after he asks him, "What should I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Keep the law." And the rich young ruler says, "I've done that." Jesus says, "One thing you still lack. Sell everything that you own, give the money to the poor, and come follow me. Then you will have done enough." And what's the young man do? He goes away grieving because he can't part with his stuff. And this isn't the only place that Jesus talks about this. He also says again, actually in the same chapter of Matthew, that we should be willing to give up mother or father or children to follow him. We should be willing to give up anything and everything in this world. And Jesus is not being coy. He's not using some clever rhetorical device. He means exactly what he says. He expects us to be able to part with even the most personal and intimate of relationships for the sake of him and his kingdom. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that there's a basic and consistent teaching in Jesus and as well in the Old Testament. We Christians should be gladly willing to part with anything and everything if it ends up getting in the way of us following Christ. This is exactly why I don't like the story of Abraham. Abraham, man of faith, was quite willing, literally, to give up his son Isaac, his only son Isaac, to kill his only son Isaac in order to follow God and to do his will. And when I look at myself, I couldn't even come close to that. I'm more like the rich young ruler. I'm unable to do these things that the Lord would have me do. I'm very glad that God has never asked me to give up one of my children. You see, friends, I'm weak. I love the things of this world and life. And since I'm being honest, I should confess to you that there are things far less important than my children that I am not willing to part with in order to follow God. Your pastor is no great patriarch. He's no great saint. When I'm gone, there will not be a commemoration day on the calendar reminding you of my existence. I'm just a sinful man. And when I'm honest, I will find that I too am unable to do what my Lord expects. And the reason I'm being so candid with you today is I think many of you are in the same boat as me. When we look at the stark reality of what it takes to follow Jesus, we find it difficult to stomach. We find it hard to do. And you, like me, probably have things you cannot give up in your walk with Jesus. And it's not just the big stuff, either. If we're being honest, many of us today refuse to be inconvenienced at all in our devotion to Christ. If the world around us conflicts with Scripture, well, we choose the world. When our peers look down on us because we have antiquated or backwards beliefs, we tuck tail, we bite our tongues, or worse, we change our minds. Sometimes we play the game of the hypocrite where we speak the good things in church that we know the pastor and the people around us expect to hear. But as soon as we leave, we start talking like all the other people in the world who don't go to church. There's a lot of things that we're not willing to give up just to save face. One of the reasons that our church, the Church of Christ, suffers and declines in this age is simply because we have forgotten a basic Christian fact. Our Lord bids us to pick up a cross and follow Him. Following sounds fine, but I don't want a cross. I don't want suffering. I don't want despair. I don't want to give up the comforts of this life. And because you and I, we have been unable to do this, we have cheapened our witness to Christ. And so we've bought a false vision of faith, one which looks like material, physical success in this life and looks nothing like the suffering, costly way of discipleship taught, commanded, and ultimately done by our Lord Jesus Christ. But dear friends, this passage is not only an indictment of my sin, my lack of faith, nor only of yours. It also shows that God does not expect any sacrifices of ours to be the bedrock of our salvation. You see, Isaac's near sacrifice here parallels and foretells much in the sacrifice of Jesus. Isaac is bound, just like the festal sacrifice of the perfect lamb commanded in the Old Testament, which is itself a sign of Christ. And more still, Isaac goes forth without reservation. He was at most around 40 years old and could have easily overpowered his aged father Abraham. And yet he submits himself to be bound and placed on the wood. Finally, after God stays Abraham's hand and reveals that a ram is stuck in a thicket, Isaac is freed. Now Jesus, of course, is our perfect sacrifice, the unblemished lamb that fulfills and ends all sacrifices of sheep and goats, being as he is the perfect and eternal atonement. And just like Isaac, he goes willingly, gladly going into suffering and to death for your sake, according to the will of his Father. And just like with the ram, God shows that the sacrifice that earns us the forgiveness of sins is not going to come by the work or will of us human beings, even great and venerable men like Abraham, but instead will be provided by God himself. More than this, the very thicket of thorns is a sign of things to come. Just as the ram who substituted for Isaac had his head covered in thorns, so too will your Savior as he marches to Calvary and there to give up his life so that you would live. In other words, God reveals something in this passage to you and to me. God knows that I couldn't give up my children. God knows there's a lot of other things I couldn't give up, even though I probably should be able to. My Father in heaven knows that I am weak, and that there are many things in this life I cannot part with, even though as a faithful Christian I surely ought to be able to if needed. And knowing all of this, he took it on himself to send his Son in my place. He gave up his Son so that these sins, these lacks of commitment, these faithless acts on my part and yours would be forgiven in the blood of the right and fitting sacrifice, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the truth revealed to us in this passage is that the things that make and keep us Christian, that put and keep us in God's kingdom, the things that dispose us to God's good graces, aren't what we do. It's not the sincerity of the heart or the depth of sacrifice we make to follow Jesus that makes us Christian. The truth is that things that make us Christian and keep us Christian are what God has done for us. Just as he sent the ram to substitute for Isaac, so he sends his Son to substitute for you and for me. Jesus goes to the cross willingly, without reservation. Though in deep anguish and turmoil, gladly goes to the cross. He could have resisted. Being God in the flesh, it would have been easy for him to get out of it. And yet he did it so that you and I would have life. Though we are idolaters and sinners and half-hearted Christians, he sent his son to shed his blood and atone for us and blot out all of our sins and imperfections and iniquities so that we would be reckoned as righteous, so that we would be granted eternal life and salvation, so that we would know without any doubt, without any question, that our place in paradise has been ensured not by feeble human works, not by all the things I might offer laced with sin, but by the perfect work of Christ. At the end of the day, we belong to Christ by his work alone. I still don't like this passage. I really don't like what God said here to Abraham. I don't like what it makes me realize about myself. But if I'm also being honest, I do find that I enjoy it when it tells me that Christ is going to substitute for me, just as the ram did for Isaac. I do like that it shows how God has mercy on us in our weakness. I do like that it points me to salvation in my Lord Jesus. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
If you like what you heard, check out our website, stjohnsoaks.org. That's OAKES. Or visit us for services at 9 a.m. each week. Feel free to email us at stjohnsoaks@gmail.com. God bless you, and we look forward to having you enjoy our messages again next week.